Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well. If you own a home, you know how much work it can take, whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality. It can be hard just to know where to start, but now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.
G'day mates, it's Bee Buster here. And before the episode begins, I would just like to let you know that Be Scared, which is produced along with Studio 71, features scary stories from around the globe on a weekly basis that aim to fuel your nightmares with a smile. And if you enjoy the podcast, it would be great if you could hit that subscribe button and drop a review. But thanks for listening, guys. And without further ado, let's begin. I'll start this off by saying that I grew up completely, 100% adamant that the paranormal isn't real. It can all be rationalized, and that people who believe in it haven't thought about it hard enough. I've shared other stories about paranormal events that have happened in my life recently that have completely changed my mind, primarily about my neighbor's house. That's not what I'll be talking about today, though. I live in the Midwest. I live in a small rural lot between a cornfield and a small forest in a camper. I've lived in this county my entire life. I know the entire county like the back of my hand, I guess you could say. This being said, I've come to the conclusion that my experiences around the rural and wooded parts of this county, that there are crawlers. I'm 100% sure of it, in fact. I've had many encounters, actually. Never back-to-back, but they happen frequently. There's a forest or a park in the middle of town that I always hated at night since I was little. As I got older, my cousin and I thought getting scared was really fun. We would go there at night on purpose, but we never lasted long. I always felt like I was being watched. This, on top of urban legends of people going missing here at night, made me feel really uneasy. Fast forward to a few years ago, though. I got married and am settling into life as a husband. I take my large all-black German Shepherd, Fenrir, on walks with me at night. I always walk towards the park, but I usually don't enter into it. The first time something weird happened was 5 years ago. I was walking Fenrir and the woods to the front and to the right of me. To the left and behind me was a neighborhood edge and a sort of small playground. When suddenly, it just went silent. My dog started acting super anxious. He's usually a very stoic and quiet dog, though. He's 120 pounds and built like a tank. Looks very intimidating, and he knows it too. I heard rustling in the woods following me, though, and I felt like I was being stalked by something. At that, I ran home, and really, that was the end of the first encounter. Nothing much to it. I had a few more encounters like that, but last year, things really amped up. I was on a walk around 11:30 p.m. with Fenrir, my wife, and our little newer dog, Booger. He's a terrier chee mix, and we are walking down the same path, and about three blocks away from the woods, four or so deer are sprinting out of the trees and into the street towards us, and for whatever reason, they seem terrified. But then I hear what I can only describe as what sounded like a human trying to mimic the sounds of a monkey. Honestly, too, I thought that it was silly until, well, recently, when I read a story about another guy who heard the same thing. We laughed it off as some kids playing around. Once we get up to the woods and are walking parallel with it, we can clearly see two reflective eyes and a silhouette staring us down from the tree line. We also heard a deep growl at this point, and then like a hissing sound, but it wasn't super high-pitched or anything. Both of our dogs acknowledged this as well. Finn stared and Booger growled a bit. I made a Facebook post on the community Facebook group, and other people told me similar stories from around this town. It was around this point, too, that I got a job as a tour guide or a maintenance guy for Rail Explorers. I'm working there again this year as well, and we start April 1st. Basically, though, they take unused or tour-specific railroad sections that aren't used federally, and they have these sort of pedal carts with motor assist on them that you can use to explore the tracks. It's really cool and really fun, and the one that I work at is like 5 minutes from where I live, and it goes through the woods in an inaccessible part of the county, unless you float down the river and hike up steep, loose dirt hills, that is. You go under one old car bridge, and then you go over two multi-100-foot-length old train bridges. The first one is larger and taller, and it's about 150 feet off the ground above the forest. But the second one, that one goes over the river. Now, about 6 months into the job, and it's fall at this point, we work until midnight sometimes, with the last tour leaving at around 9 p.m., and that means that the last tour for the last 2 months of the year, they are made in complete darkness. The way that the job operates is with 6 employees. 4 get on the lead bike, and 2 get on the rear bike. From the lead bike, we drop off one person at the busy intersection so they can flag traffic, and one person gets dropped off at the large train bridge that goes over the woods. The person at the bridge gives a short safety speech to the customers, who stop and go one at a time over the bridge. The employee carts, they're much faster than the customer ones. We all have walkie-talkies, and we usually have these battery-powered floodlights on stands that we use, so the customers can see us. We also have light-up safety vests as well. Now, one particular night, we were behind by 20 or so minutes, I think. Instead of leaving the depot at sunset, we were leaving at dusk at this point. I was stationed at the high bridge, and by the time that we reached the bridge, it was pitch black, aside from the stars providing a little bit of light. My co-workers, they dropped me off and waited with me until the first customer arrived. I gave the little speech to that first cart of 4, I chatted with them a little bit. I was basically trying to buy some time and wait for the next customer cart, so there wasn't a massive gap for my co-workers, who have to flip the bikes around. And after a few minutes, I let these customers leave and I was alone. I must have been alone for 20 minutes, I would say. I used the radio so many times, but it was pretty much static for everybody for whatever reason that night. One of the only times we've ever had any issues like that as well. But I kept seeing, like, movement in the tree line. I kept hearing fast footsteps all around me in every direction. I had the floodlight on above my head, so everyone and everything could see me, but I couldn't see anything outside of it. I turned the floodlight off and used my personal flashlight, and I could have sworn that I kept seeing, like, quick glimpses of pale skin moving quickly. But right when I started seeing stuff, I could hear the next customer car coming close, so I turned the light back on and I waited for them to come around the corner. When they pulled up, I noticed that they had a little boy with them, and he's scared of the dark, apparently. I'm terrified at this point, mind you, but have to act appropriately, even more so because of this boy. I really don't want to scare him. As I'm finishing my speech, though, I hear movement right behind me. I spin around with my flashlight on instinct. The poor kid, I must have frightened him, too. I told them that it was probably just a deer and that they are good to go across the bridge. That same night, the person stationed at the intersection, this isn't like an in-town intersection, it's very rural, it's right next to a massive cornfield. He's Native American and was very in tune with this culture, and he told me privately a few weeks later that he heard rustling in the cornfield, and whatever was out there was apparently whispering his name and trying to get him to come into the field. He was also without communication for about those 20 minutes, but he wasn't in the woods and he could see a lot better than me. Another time, me and that same co-worker were headed back to the front cart. We were a ways ahead, so we stopped the cart in the middle of the high bridge. It sounds scary. I am a bit afraid of heights, and this bridge has massive gaps between the planks that you could definitely slip through, but after doing it so often, I guess you just get used to it. In any case, it was a clear night that night, and we were watching the stars and just small talking. But then, it goes really silent. We're about 100 or so feet in the air above the woods, mind you. We can hear for miles as well. The dogs barking across the river 2 miles can be heard without even seeing the houses. But then, we hear what sounds like a human mimicking a monkey noise again. And we hear growling. He looks at me completely seriously and tells me in a stern tone that we need to get out of here right now. I drive the heck out of there, no questions asked, and he moves states to Nevada shortly after this as well. A few other things happened here and there, and to co-workers as well. Each of my co-workers have at least one story to tell. I'm only sharing mine at this point because otherwise this would be way too long. But a few months go by and it's late fall, around the middle of November. I drive through that park in town a lot when I just want to go for a drive, and I had my dog again, Fenrir, with me, and it's around 2 in the morning. I can't sleep, so I'm listening to Melvin's CD and driving leisurely through the park. As soon as I get past the entrance gates, though, I feel really uneasy and just sort of weird all of a sudden. Mind you, I'm not easily scared by much, but going to that park at night, it makes me feel a primal fear. It's beyond fight or flight. I've never felt that way in my life anywhere else, in fact, ever, and I feel it every time that I'm there. So I'm driving through the park, and I've rolled the windows up a lot more. Fenrir can still poke his head out, but can't leap out. As I go deeper into the woods, I feel just worse and worse. I decide not to turn around because I'm already past the halfway point anyway. Turning around at this point would actually make me stay in the woods longer. I started speeding where there weren't turns that I couldn't see around. I round the last corner, and what I saw, it will forever stay with me. There was a pale, skinny humanoid, tall and lanky and not quite human, crawling on its hands and feet, but it was crawling so quickly that it must have been going 20 miles per hour at least. We don't have bears here. The only animal that size are large humans and deer, and I can assure you that that was no deer. It went from my right, across the street, and then just went into the tree line. Fenrir saw it too, and he doesn't bark at animals, not even other dogs, but at this thing, whatever it was, he went absolutely ballistic. He was going crazy. In fact, he was trying to force himself out of the small gap in the window, nearly foaming at the mouth and snarling. He never acts like that, ever. I'm a certified dog trainer, and I've raised him from birth, and I've never seen him like this before. In any case, I quickly got out of there, and we didn't look back. Most recently, I've sort of become, I don't know, maybe obsessed with this park, I guess is the way to say it. I've walked there at night from my camper to the park with Fenrir, and I'll never do it again. I didn't see a figure this time, but as I was entering the park, a massive owl flew by my head, so close that I could have smacked it mid-flight. This made me feel a bit weird for some reason. And as soon as I get into the park, I feel extremely weird again, anxious and nauseous. I walk a few hundred yards to the only street light in the entire park, and I turn around and face the woods. Me and Fenrir stand there frozen for like 10 minutes, because the silence was, again, absolutely deafening. Anytime I heard anything, I was jumpy. Finn was anxious as heck, too. He kept staring into a certain spot in the woods a ways off as well. And I swear that I saw eyes in there every once in a while, too. I built up the courage to walk out, and after that, I haven't gone back since. It will be interesting to see what happens at my job this year. I wanted to add that the county that I live in is packed full of abandoned mines as well, hundreds of them, and I'm not 100% sure if it's all related or not, but based on some of the things that I'm reading, apparently there might be some sort of a connection.
Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well. If you own a home, you know how much work it can take, whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality. It can be hard just to know where to start, but now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish, or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.
For a little bit of background, I'm a 24-year-old female who loves scary stories, horror movies, true crime, etc. It takes a fair bit to scare me, though I haven't actually experienced many terrifying or life-threatening events, fortunately. This was during the middle of August in northern Texas, summer of 2023. The nighttime temperatures were around 100 degrees at this point. So my dad and one of my brothers, who's 11, drove an hour north into the countryside to go stargazing for my brother's scout merit badge. But there are some twisty gravel roads in the forest as you approach Black Creek Lake, and we got to see a coyote, a deer, and even some raccoons. We live in the city, so we don't often see such animals. And we honestly thought that that would be our excitement for the night. We then finally made it to the recreational park grounds beside the lake. The layout is pretty simple there. If you're standing in the round parking lot, then the campgrounds are to the north and west, the lake is south, and the path in and out is east of us. But there are no official campgrounds east of this recreational area, which is important for later. So, we got there at around 10 p.m. and we set up. We were able to successfully see some stars through my telescope as well as Saturn, which was exciting for us. Throughout this whole time, though, there are two parties, or what might have been one group in a parking lot and surrounding nearby area. One party was kayaking and then later fishing from the boat ramp area west of us. To the north, in the lot, there were two cars as well. And from that direction, we were constantly hearing a loud and sort of irritating voice of a woman who was obviously in a bad mood and didn't want to be there. She continuously cursed at someone, or no one in particular, and at one point was mad at someone for taking her keys and obstructing her from driving, which obviously made it sound like she was drunk or under some other influence. At one point in the night, around 11 p.m., we hear someone loudly, sporadically honk one of the car horns over and over in sort of random patterns. Then we hear the obnoxious woman rudely tell someone to wake up over and over again, then proceeding to hold down the horn for a few seconds at a time and continuing her assault on the horn and our ears. By this point, my family and I are just about ready to leave due to this loud commotion. I personally was fixing to go over there myself and tell her off, but I knew that probably wasn't the best idea. I definitely didn't want to put myself and my unborn baby in any danger. Then, for maybe about 20 or 30 minutes, we were able to watch the stars in relative peace with little noise coming from the other two parties. Fortunately, none of these people were directly involved with what happened next, but it may have been the cause of it. So just before midnight, we packed up our stargazing stuff and we got in the car. Now, the gravel path to the exit is up a sort of slight hill or slope, meaning from the parking lot, you really can't see past where the path goes up and around a couple of trees. We drive up the hill, and just as the headlights come back down to illuminate the path in front of us, and the trees to our right side, it was right then and there that we see a man wearing only black shorts and no shirt. The timing was honestly straight out of a horror movie, to just suddenly see someone out of nowhere like that. He must have been in his late 20s or maybe early 30s and had short dark hair. Just as the light hit him though, he was standing and walking right there, just to the right of our car in front of us at a very close distance, only a couple of feet away I would guess. But the guy, he had been walking towards our direction and upon seeing us quickly raised both of his arms to flip us off with both hands. He keeps his hands and arms raised and is quickly and loudly saying something to us with anger or something in his voice. We couldn't understand what he was saying though, since we had the radio on and all of this happened so quickly. The second the man saw us though, he started walking toward our car quickly. My dad was driving slowly initially to avoid the agitated man, thinking that he might need help. My dad, in a sort of confused voice, says, "What is he doing?" But I just reply with, "No, go, go, go," and we sped off. I knew that this was not a situation where we needed to stick around and ask questions. It freaked me out a little bit imagining what would have happened too, if the guy had reached the car a few seconds later, if we hadn't have sped off like that. I'm not very familiar with my dad's car, and it scares me that I might have ended up pressing the wrong button to lock the door or whatever, and the guy could have opened it and done who knows what. We left and we never had anything else happen, but we did wonder who that guy was and also where he came from. The direction that he was walking from had no official campgrounds, only the forest. Maybe he lived in one of the scattered houses in the woods that we'd passed by on our long journey there. I wondered why he had been walking in our direction, toward the recreational area. My best theory is that he wanted to confront the group that had been honking the horn and waking up the entire forest, but upon seeing our car leave, maybe he thought that it had been us making the racket. Even if that's not it, or the man needed help, which is not likely considering his reaction to us, I couldn't help but feel an immediate sense of danger upon seeing him. I really hope that no harm came to those two other parties that night, but honestly, he was sort of heading in that direction, and it wouldn't surprise me if there was some sort of a confrontation, or who knows, maybe worse. This is a story that pops back up into my mind from time to time. I've only ever told it to a few people, but I definitely feel like it deserves its place here. It's for sure one of the scariest moments that I've ever had as a kid, and something that I just cannot forget. So back when I was around 10 years old, my mum finally decided that it was time for her to start taking a driver's license. When she began taking lessons, she was struggling a lot. And for that reason, my dad decided that he wanted to do some practice with her, besides the official driving lessons with her instructor, just to make sure that she would pass the upcoming test first try. My little brother and I, we were attending swimming lessons at this nearby university at the time, behind a forested area near the university, there's this huge student parking area, surrounded by trees, which turned out to be basically empty every weekend. My dad, he saw the opportunity to take my mum here to drive around for a bit, and brought my little brother and I with them since we were too young to stay home alone. We also brought a football with us. Now, when we arrived to the parking lot later on in the evening, my parents began their practice. my little brother and I. We quickly got pretty bored, though, and asked if we could go over to this little grass field on the side of the parking lot just to play some football. My parents, they let us since they'd always be able to keep their eyes on us whilst driving around. After playing for some time, my parents ended up driving around in the other end of the parking lot. They weren't far, mind you, maybe 300 to 400 meters away from my brother and I, Max. But suddenly, this white Toyota pulls up into the parking lot. We were playing almost right at the exit or entrance, I guess you could say. The car turns around and it stops on my right side with the vehicle facing the exit. The driver rolls down his windows and presents himself as Thomas. He looked friendly, I guess, was good-looking and young, I guess would be around 30. But this is where things started to get a bit weird. You see, in the passenger seat was a woman covering her face with a newspaper. All I could see was long blonde hair. And on the back seat was a baby, sat in a baby chair. Thomas immediately states that he's from the police and that we apparently have to get into the car immediately as he has to talk with us. My brother actually took 2 steps towards the vehicle, but I stuck my arm in front of his chest as I was sensing something was off. The woman was still covering her face at this point, not saying a word. Thomas then raised his voice and told us once again to get into the car or else he'd have to come out and get us. My brother and I, we just sort of froze out of fear. Suddenly though, the woman put down the newspaper, showed her face and told us in the most calm motherly voice to just listen to the man. The woman looked young, pretty and like a person who honestly wouldn't hurt a fly. At this moment, I began screaming as loud as I could. What we hadn't seen at that point was that my dad was already running as fast as he could toward us. He was coming from behind the vehicle, so we didn't see it. My parents didn't have time to drive to us since the road down the parking lot, it was sort of twisted all the way. When my dad heard my scream, he started yelling as loud as he could, "Hey, who the heck are you? Get away from my children!" As soon as Thomas heard my dad and realized my brother and I weren't alone, he threw that car into gear and took off as fast as he could. He most definitely looked like a person who just soiled himself when he saw my dad. My dad was absolutely furious though, and told my brother and I to hurry up back to the car. He didn't even think about calling the police at that point. He wanted to beat up the guy himself. That resulted in us driving around for the next hour trying to find him before my dad cooled down and decided that he should probably just call the police. We never did find out who those people were, but this episode, I guess you could call it, taught me to never judge a book by its cover. People can be the most friendly-looking people in the world and still wish evil upon you or the ones you love. I'm really not sure what these people would have done to us, but I'm sure about one thing. They definitely were not the police. So, before I start this post, I'll say that I was very young, but my mother recalls the experience quite clearly herself. I'm not really into, like, cryptozoology at all, but I am curious if this is a common sighting, or what exactly my mother, father, and I experienced. This was along Route 66 going from Texas into New Mexico. We were heading to my great-grandfather's funeral back in 2005, in the middle of the summer, and I was 10 at the time. The sun was starting to set, and I remember us talking. I'm eating a Happy Meal that they bought me at the time, and we were just swapping stories and having a good time. They made me this little cubby-like area in the trunk for me to lay down in, color, etc. But most of the trip was spent just looking out the window, watching things pass by. While my parents were talking and the radio was on, I was just watching the world pass by, but I remember very clearly seeing a man standing and staring at cars. He wore a black trench coat, bowler or perhaps top hat, a black beard, but the part that I remember the most vividly was bright glowing red eyes. I pointed it out to my mum, who was distracted at the time, having not seen it. And well, a couple of hours go by and I'm still looking out my window. I made a little game for myself to see if I could count how many birds I could spot along the way, and the sun was starting to set as well. And the next thing I know, I see the same dude just ahead of us. But now, because of the dark, the eyes were a lot more intense. My mum got a little bit concerned about it and told my dad to speed up. Eventually, fatigue set in and we found a rest stop. It was pitch black there, like the kind of dark that you can't even see your own feet in without a light. And we were all just trying to sleep at this point. I had to go to the bathroom and my dad walked out with me as I was rather freaked out by the sighting earlier, worried that the guy would come and grab me. As we got out of the car, I remember my father staring off into the distance and told me to hurry up, though keeping his usual calm demeanor. When I finished and got back into the car, he started it for some reason and we took off again, driving to stay in a motel instead. I asked him and my mother about it recently as we were just reminiscing together about trips that we'd taken. And when I asked my dad why he had us go to a motel, he claimed that it was because he saw the same pair of eyes staring at us from a hill near where we were, above a sort of rocky outcrop. I never saw those, so I can't confirm either way, but my dad is certainly not one to make up stories like this. So, does anyone have any idea or stories as to what exactly this could have been? I remember the eyes so vividly, it's burned into my mind, as well as him being out in the desert heat with a heavy trench coat, and, well, I'm not sure. My dad swears that it was the devil. My mum thinks that it was a chupacabra of some sorts. I myself am not really sure what it was. Any thoughts would be appreciated. As I said, this was over 19 years ago, and I haven't seen anything since then, as I live far away from Route 66 now, and to be honest, I have no plans of going back there.
G'day mates, it's Bee Buster here. Thanks for tuning in to this week's episode of the Bee Scared Podcast. And please, don't forget to subscribe so you don't miss next week's episode too. Also, it would be much appreciated if you could share this new podcast with your friends and family and on social media too. Thanks again for listening, guys, and I'll see you mates in the next one.
Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well. If you own a home, you know how much work it can take, whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality. It can be hard just to know where to start, but now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish, or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.